Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And in my book, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, I talk about a lot of different holistic ways that you can help heal and self-heal your body. And a lot of people said, well, why did you talk about pain? Because a lot of the things in your book help, like, wellness in general, including chronic fatigue, because that's what I used to have, adrenal exhaustion and chronic fatigue from lots of stress and being way too perfectionistic. But I said, well, you know, I focused on the pain because that's just one symptom that people can at least know that this book is for them. But if you get a copy of my book, there's a lot of great ideas in there for, you know, holistic living and helping you regain your energy as well. So today's topic with Dr. Dennis and I is going to be advanced life wave patch protocols for adrenal exhaustion and extreme fatigue. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the world lately. There's a lot of things going on with people's personal lives, but also worldwide. And people are becoming more sensitive to energy, and I'm finding that as these shifts occur, as they're able to heal at deeper levels, they're actually getting more exhausted, or at least feel more exhausted. And so our little adrenal glands, or those glands that help us through stress, they are sometimes overworking in many of us, especially those that are sensitive. So in addition to some of the spiritual protocols and ascension tools that I use and I prescribe, I really love the Life Wave patches. I have to admit, I use them pretty much every day as a support tool. I like being busy. I like being productive. I like having a clear mind and feeling supported and happy. And it just, you know, for me, it's great to have these phototherapy patches help me. Maybe they'll help you. I don't know. If they worked as well for you as they did for me, maybe you'll try them. But today with me is Dr. Dennis Loebstein, and he is an expert in Asian medicine, matrix energetics, Qigong healing, and all different kinds of energy healing too. And he's much more an expert in Chinese medicine than I am, believe it or not, even though I'm the Chinese one. So today I've asked Dr. Dennis to come on the show to give us some basic points first, acupuncture points that may help support our physical bodies, energetic bodies, system to keep our energy up despite all the changes going on in the world, and there may be some advanced protocols that you can use, especially if you already know you suffer from chronic fatigue symptoms or, you know, adrenal exhaustion, or you think you have adrenal exhaustion. And if you want to ask a question live, you can call in 818-514-1190. Again, the number is 818-514-1190 and hit 1. And then we know you have a question. Now, if you have not tried LifeWave patches and are curious as to which ones might best serve you, I did make the promise online on my Facebook page that I'd be more than happy to do a quick muscle test for you to see which patches are best for you, and maybe like one, you know, out of the several, which protocol or acupuncture point would be best for you to start with. So if that's you, you want to get your pen and paper out, because I'm going to go through these real quick because there's a lot of people on the line, and I can't promise I can get to everyone, but I'll do my best. You can also chat with me. I'm behind the scenes chatting while Dr. Dennis is giving his awesome presentation of these protocols. So if you are online, you can click the chat and also ask your question there as well. And if you don't have a copy of my book, please get the first six chapters free at KarenCan.com, including lots of free gifts, including my very, very popular energy clearing and protection spray formula, and six of my Fast Track Your Healing classes, and Introduction to Topocan Healing and your very own Topocan Healing attunement, which recently got a major upgrade a couple of days ago. So things are even more powerful than they are already. So welcome, Dr. Dennis.
Hey, Dr. Karen. Glad to be here with you.
Hey there. Glad to be with you, too. Thanks again for sharing your first Monday of every month with us. And volunteering to do this. It's been 3 years, and you're so dependable, reliable, and a wealth of knowledge. So we're very grateful that you're here to share your time with us again.
Oh, well, thanks. It's always a lot of fun, and the time goes really fast.
Yeah, it does, isn't it? Do you have a story to tell us?
Yeah, I thought I'd lead in with a story about the general adaptation syndrome, or my version of Jack Flash, it's a gas, from the realm of Hans Selye, and then go into some more details that you alluded to about adrenal fatigue and the Western physiology behind it, and then look at how Asian medicine views fatigue and exhaustion, and then look at some acupuncture points we can use for it and how to patch them.
Sounds good.
All right. So when I was a professor teaching exercise physiology, I used to teach about Hans Selye and his general adaptation syndrome because the level of resistance and then a challenge or an alarm reaction, and then an increased resistance for a while with increasing challenges to homeostasis, known as stress, and then exhaustion is a good model. So it pertains to exercise stress as well. Mm-hmm. And exercise stress actually makes us more resistant to other forms of stress. So it generalizes as an adaptation to exercise training, especially aerobic training, to build up our resistance. And there are good physiological reasons for that, some of which I'll touch on today. And surprisingly, or at least surprisingly to me, when I first got into studying the patches, a lot of the physiology behind how the patches work do some of the same kinds of physiological changes in the body that result as an adaptation to aerobic exercise training, such as lowering the resting heart rate and shifting catabolism from an emphasis on burning carbs and making a lot of lactic acid to making more ATP for energy, burning fats, and the hormone systems and the nervous system involved with that, such as stimulating the adrenal medulla during stress, which results from innervation from the hypothalamus. And so if we perceive ourselves psychologically to be under stress, or we actually have physical stress, like running away from a predator, and this is a very ancient mechanism in our bodies to protect us, to run away from challenges, like from a saber-toothed tiger or jaguar. But in our modern world, as you alluded to, we're under so much stress that those kinds of responses just occur spontaneously, like when we're stupidly playing with our cell phone and stepping off the curb and a car runs into us, kind of stress.
Yeah.
Or walking down Hollywood Boulevard, elbow to elbow with all kinds of weirdos, when a dog is caught in front of a Disney joint like Ghirardelli. And of course, that dog happened to be a pit bull. And the cop, off-duty cop, just shot it recently. This just happened a few days ago. But, you know, a crazy pit bull in Ghirardelli chocolate where Goofy's picture's up on the wall. You know, Goofy's dog, too. And the dog going berserk because the owner's uptight and jerking it, and off-duty cop shooting it. That's just an example of an everyday stress that goes on in L.A.
Yeah, crazy. And well, and I have to say, I no personal offense to LA drivers, but I have found that LA drivers are really bad. Like, they'll go the opposite way in a one-way street just to, like, cut 2 minutes off their drive and not want to go all the way around the corner. Or they'll be in the left-hand turn lane, and they will turn right against, like, three lanes of traffic. I'm like, really? Really?
While they're turning right, a motorcycle will zoom up the side right in front of them.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. Sorry, LA people.
L.A., City of the Angels, is a very easy town to drive around in when there's no traffic.
Right. So you're saying, Dr. Dennis, that stress isn't necessarily a bad thing because we start to adapt to stress and become more resilient. So when we're exercising, that's a form of stress. We get more resilient. So it's not necessarily stress is bad. Like, growth actually causes stress to some extent, either spiritual growth or mental, physical, whatever growth. There's some stress, but then it can be a little too much at times, right?
Yeah, for sure. So stress isn't always bad. Oftentimes, like in the form of exercise, it's a good thing. And we can define stress as a challenge to homeostasis. And good stress is called eustress. And if we overdose on it and it turns into bad stress, we call that distress. So constant hammering away of distress will increase our resistance to stress for a while, but then we break down into exhaustion. And our systems that are designed to help the body deal with the stress, like increase in catecholamine output from the adrenal medulla and putting out glucocorticosteroids from the adrenal cortex, all mobilize systems in the body for us to react to stress or to run or to do our fight or flight. So stand there and fight or run. But all of that involves an increase in heart rate, an increase in blood pressure, a mobilization of free fatty acids, a temporary suppression of immunity. But there is a beneficial side effect, and that is that glucocorticosteroids, like the cortisol from the adrenal cortex, will lower inflammation. That's why cortisone shots are often given by allopathic physicians to get rid of swelling, to lower inflammation. So there's a silver lining in there. And also,
is that why, Dr. Dennis, if I may interject, sometimes either that or you know, I'm crazy, but sometimes I find, like, if I have cold symptoms or something like that, that my little niggly, you know, chronic pain areas seem to get better? Like, that it's either like I don't notice them as much, or I'm just so focused on my whatever cough or nasal congestion, whatever, that suddenly the rest of my body pain gets better. Is that cortisol going up?
Well, that's only part of the picture when you're stressed, but also the precursor hormone that stimulates the adrenal cortex to release the glucocorticosteroids. This precursor hormone called ACTH, as you know, or adrenocorticotropic hormone that's released by the anterior pituitary, comes from the same corticotropic neurons in the anterior pituitary as the endorphins. And this mother peptide is called pro-opiomelanocortin, and it gives rise to both ACTH segments, which is a peptide hormone, and also beta-lipotropin, which burns fat, and beta-endorphin, which is a euphorogen, and it also blocks pain, and it has a lot of multivariate applications in the body. And a lot of those I outlined in that page 7 of the LifeWay Product Training Manual, when it used to be published and available. And since I mentioned that, I'll be glad to circulate that if anybody wants a copy of it. So I'll do you still have that
PDF or something? Or?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure we're allowed to circulate it. I mean, not the one for the fancy thick one.
No,
I wish I had the PDF for the simple one.
Yeah, just that one page, I mean, that I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
About endorphin. Yeah, so this page outlines all the multiple effects that endorphins have on the body that include nociception or blocking pain and acting as a euphorogen and regulating all the other releasing factors from the hypothalamus that affect the pituitary and so on. So to make a long answer short, cortisol may be part of the picture, but other hormones like endorphins also block pain and they're released when you're stressed. Even when you're pregnant, the part of the pituitary that makes endorphins is hypertrophied or enlarged and secreting a lot more endorphins. And that blocks pain and helps pregnant women feel more euphoric and able to deal with their condition.
Wow. That's really interesting.
And so my research found that exercise transiently increases endorphins, but as an adaptation to long-term aerobic training, the circulating endorphin level goes down. And that's also the case with chronic stress. Like being an alcoholic or drinking a lot of alcohol chronically, or being on drugs like narcotics or heroin, the circulating beta endorphin levels actually go down as an adaptation to those stresses. So there's a common mechanism with the endorphins there. But anyway, back to the general adaptation syndrome. When I used to teach this to my exercise physiology students, I'd get like real quiet in the class and everybody would calm down. And then all of a sudden I'd go boom on the podium and everybody would like jump out of their seats. And
oh,
I said,
man.
Okay. This is
so naughty.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a reason I did that.
You're
what did you
now.
Feel? Yeah, oh, my heart rate jumped up. And my heart rate increased and I felt pounding in the vessels in my head and I felt scared and it seemed like something was going to attack me. And I said, "Okay, well, I'm going to show you what resistance looks like." So then I went boom, 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 boom on the podium again.
Mm.
And there was habituation, or they got used to the signal or the alarm.
Mm.
So the alarm reaction wasn't as profound. And I asked them what they were feeling, and they said increased resistance. So, yeah, that's it. So then we draw this general adaptation syndrome that Hans Selye had on the blackboard, which is like, a square root sign for the alarm reaction from the initial level of resistance, and then square root, it goes down during the alarm, and then it goes way back up, and it exceeds the normal level of resistance, and then it plateaus, and it rides really high, way above the normal level of resistance. But it can only ride that high for so long. And that's
right. So are there like four phases or something, or three phases?
Yeah, three or four. Four if you count the initial level of resistance. That's one. Two is the alarm reaction. Three is the increased resistance. And then there comes a point when exposed to constant stress, as we were discussing earlier, of exhaustion. And that exhaustion then, if the stress continues, can ultimately lead to death.
Wow.
But there are all kinds of physiological changes, hormonal changes that go on in between the alarm reaction, the increased resistance, the point of exhaustion, and then the point of exhaustion leading to death if the stress continues. And of course, there's an increase in illness or sickness or breakdown of the body during the exhaustion phase when we can't resist anymore and all our systems are depleted and broken down into the exhaustion. And that breakdown in Chinese medicine is often called collapse of upright qi or collapse of yang qi or yang exhaustion. Like we just don't have the energy to resist anymore and we give up.
Right.
And
right,
even
right.
if we're not giving up psychologically, our physiology gives up because it's just too much. And that's where an adaptation to exercise training comes in, because it helps us maintain our resistance to other stress longer to keep us from morbidity or being sick. And it collapses a state of morbidity closer to the state of mortality or death. So if, in other words, if you're healthy, you can maintain that resistance to stress we encounter a longer time before you hit that exhaustion phase and suffer from illness or mortality. And then if that keeps up without healing, then it can lead to morbidity or death.
Right, right. Wow. So that saying, stress kills, is really true.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And what doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the different kinds of systems we're looking at in Chinese medicine that describe what I just did from Hans Selye's point of view and from an exercise physiologist's point of view, if we look at it from a traditional Chinese medicine perspective, we're dealing with collapse of yang or yang exhaustion and or collapse of yin or yin exhaustion. So those of you who have heard us flap our gums before know the difference between yin and yang, and their energies from the Tao that maintain balance in the body and health. And when they get imbalanced, then we get unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So that lack of health and exhaustion can lead to a condition also known as Wei syndrome. Wei syndrome in Chinese medicine is wilting or away. So our resistance is no longer in place. We're going through the exhaustion phase and we're suffering from Wei syndrome that eventually leads to yin and or yang collapse or exhaustion. So what does that look like? Like everybody knows what it feels like to be wasted or fried.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like to the extreme. And when the Shen or the spirit is wasted or fried, there are things we can do without an acupuncture needle. Like in five element medicine, we put salt in the belly button with a little pyramid of moxa on the salt, and we light up the moxa to revive the Shen. The belly button is a CV8, and it's contraindicated from needling, but we can moxa it and we can patch it. And CV8 is a very important point because that's how we got nourished in the womb. And even though it got cut off at birth, it's still an opening or an energetic avenue to reviving and nourishing our Shen or our spirit and reviving our spirit. And once we revive our spirit, that can help rebuild our qi, yin and yang balance, and our jing or our essence.
So you're talking about reviving the spirit first before, you know, physical stuff?
Yeah, that's right, because everything happens on the spiritual level first. To break down and regulate and control everything else. But we can look at it. We can look at Shen, Qi, and Jing in Asian medical physiology from an interactive perspective with Shen on top because it's closer to sky. And Shen is interacting with morphic fields or frequency clouds outside the body, or energy fields, or torsion fields, or whatever you want to call it. And then the Shen then interacts, if you can think of a two-way arrow, like in a chemistry equation where you have one arrow going one way and then another arrow going back the other way in an equilibrium reaction. So the Shen then is in equilibrium with the Qi. And then we can have another set of two-way arrows between the Qi and the Jing. And the Jing is the essence or the physical body. So what is happening at the Shen level when Shen interacts with our morphic fields can translate into what's happening in the balance between our yin and yang, and that can translate into what's happening in our physical body, in our Jing, our essence. Oh, yes, we can have trauma and damage to the Jing that can go the other way. So damage to the essence or the Jing can also affect the balance of Qi or yin and yang in the body, and that can affect our Shen, our spirit. So it goes both ways.
Aha. Okay, makes sense.
Yep. So,
by the way, folks, I am writing notes, so that's going to be on the patchtrainingteam.com/blog, probably published about 10 to 15 minutes after the end of the show. So don't worry if you're not taking notes. I'm taking notes for you. Go ahead, Dr. Dennis.
Wow, you're so awesome, Dr. Karen. Okay, so let's look at yang exhaustion and what's known as collapse of upright yang qi. So obviously fatigue is a factor, but if yang has collapsed, we have an aversion to cold, and we also have cold limbs, and we could be short of breath, and we could be having sweats that are profuse and dribbling. We could be pale and white and be in a stupor.
That's really bad.
Yeah, well, you actually see people in L.A. that are in stupors sometimes. You know, you go down to
really?
Venice Beach and people are walking around in stupors.
Oh, yeah.
When I was teaching at the University of Miami, I'd notice there was a different kind of stupor in Miami, and that was from older folks, geriatric patients, who were on their neuroleptics, and they looked like they were walking around in stupors as well.
Yeah. Yep.
But anyway, that's a different story. So somebody with yang exhaustion could also be incoherent mentally, and they could have they could have incontinence of both their urine and their stool. So in other words, they can wet their pants and poop uncontrollably. They can exhibit a rapid pulse. And that rapid pulse could be floating and empty in the middle positions of the pulses. When you take a pulse in Chinese medicine, on each arm you have three positions, And the middle position on the left arm is the liver, and on the right arm it's a spleen. So the liver and the spleen could be irregular or exhibit missed beats or be empty, quote unquote. And let's see, purple lips indicating diminished circulation, lack of blood flow, pale tongue, and the tongue could also be wet. Can you think of any other symptoms?
Well, I think that some of these are, when people get really, really severe, and certainly a lot of people I see don't have all of those things. They may have one or two, but there's definitely some folks out there that are, I find, Dr. Dennis, some of my most sensitive students can be very fragile. So these are my star seeds, especially. So they're having difficulty being in a physical body in the first place, you know, having been light beings in other timelines. And so they have a really hard time not frying their circuits, let's put it that way. So literally having difficulty picking their head up off the bed and functioning, like just stupor, I suppose, confusion. People think they're crazy because they feel so much of other people's stuff, unfortunately, that's not theirs, and they can get overwhelmed. That's kind of, some of the extreme, handful of cases that we have. It's very challenging.
Yeah, and so you're describing somebody who is empathic also.
Yes.
Or they're very sensitive to other people's energy, and they get empathic, or they are empathic, and so they're more susceptible to exhaustion and the kind of breakdown I've been talking about.
Yes. Yeah. And, they're the sweetest people, just kind, sweet, generous, but they can't function. It's so hard for them. And of course they usually have tons of life stresses too, because they got to this place and where they didn't feel supported, and who knows what other trauma they've had. So it's not, it's not like they can just have someone take care of them while they recover. So this is really tough.
Yeah, I mean, if we back off the exhaustion phase and look at how the increased resistance leads to the exhaustion, we see that the challenges to homeostasis are the increased stress can lead to anger, frustration, agitation, and depression.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who's depressed actually has an effect on their endorphin system and their medulla and their adrenals. And so adrenal fatigue is a component of that too.
Yep.
And they feel exhausted and like they can't move. But I've seen people that were extremely depressed, and one little hit with a needle on kidney one, and it flips them 180, and they're laughing suddenly.
And that's not because kidney one's painful on the bottom of the foot.
Well,
they're like, okay, I'm so afraid to be depressed anymore because that really hurt.
Right. Well, most people that are in that state don't really care about the pain.
True, true. They're like, do whatever.
Yeah, just bring it on and get me out of this.
Yeah, get me out of this. Right. So are you describing the two different kinds of, like, the yang collapse syndrome and the yin collapse syndrome, and then we're going to learn which points are helpful for either one? Is that the plan?
Yeah, I didn't do yin yet. I have just been describing yang exhaustion.
Okay.
Okay, so let's look at yin exhaustion. So yin exhaustion, yin is more essence and less energy like the yang. So if we're talking about yin exhaustion, we're talking about dry skin, like lack of water, dehydration, and lips are dry, tongue is dry, because the yin is depleted, the yang's released, and there's a lot of heat involved with the yang. That makes people more irritable. So yang rising to the brain causes irritability. And yang's rising because the yin doesn't anchor it, because yin's being exhausted. It could manifest in shortness of breath, just like the yang exhaustion. But because they're dehydrated, there's an increase in thirst and desire to drink. It could be so bad they're experiencing delirium and stupor. And they have warm limbs. And the tongue is usually, as I said, dry, but it's also red. And the pulse can be rapid, but it feels weak, like not a whole lot of oomph or strength behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And collapse of yin could also involve coughing with a sticky, scanty sputum. And there could also
be... And some people cough because they get tired, so that's one of those. You know, like they don't have a cold or anything per se, but they, when they get tired, they start to cough. And they don't cough up
so
anything. I used to get that.
And just because they're coughing doesn't mean they have extreme exhaustion or adrenal fatigue, but it's leading in that direction where they're fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have fatigue without extreme exhaustion or adrenal fatigue. But yeah, when you get fatigued like that, you get rebellious lung qi, which results in coughing, because the lung, in Asian medical physiology, the lung qi is anchored by the kidney. And when the kidney, which is a battery for the body, is weak, it doesn't anchor the lung qi very well, and you get then rebellious lung qi, and that manifests as a cough. So that's what's behind that.
Got it.
So just as an aside, the way to regulate rebellious qi, like if you've got rebellious lung qi, is to stimulate the source points for the channel. So if somebody's coughing, if you stimulate lung 9, which is a source point for the lungs, you can regulate their qi and send it in the right direction. So in the case of the lung, the source point is lung 9, and you can reverse the lung qi from going up and send it back down the way it's supposed to when the kidneys are stronger and anchoring the lung qi, and that is in the downward direction. And then the cough disappears.
Very cool.
So, you know, if I talked about this to most allopathic physicians, they would think that I sounded wacko.
Well, it is a whole other area of study. So, it's going to be like, what? Yin, yang? I don't get it, you know. So it is a whole other area, but I'm taking notes for people.
But,
so I'm sure people are here like patiently waiting for the points. They're like, give us the points, please. What points
okay.
are we using?
Okay, so let me start with I just did lung 9 for the cough. That's a beginning fatigue. Okay, so lung 9 will reverse coughing in the early stages of fatigue. And so will kidney points. Especially if you include kidney 3 and bladder 60 as a yin-yang pair in the water element during a five-element rotation. So if you really wanted to avert fatigue and recharge your kidneys, before you ever had extreme exhaustion and extreme adrenal fatigue, you could include kidney 3 and bladder 60 in your yin yang pair of your five element rotation. And what I would do when you're focused on recharging the kidneys is alternate. Like one day you do earth, the next day you do water with the kidney and the bladder. And then the next day you do lung, and then the next day you do water. And the next day you would do wood, and then the next day you would do water. So every other day you're going back to water.
Right, right.
To recharge your kidneys. Okay, so another way to recharge the kidneys and the batteries is to use CV4 to tonify the yang qi, and CV6, which tonifies the qi in general, the whole body, especially in the dantian area, or the qi of qi in the lower abdomen, which is a storage area for qi. And we could also use GV4, which is the life gate that's right below lumbar vertebra 2, between the kidneys at the same time or alternating, like front CV4, back GV4. So one day CV4, the next day GV4 with YH patches, since they're on the midline.
Does it matter which YH patch we use on CV or GV?
Glutathione worked really well before we had the Eon patch. The Eon works really well too. So it doesn't really matter. And you can also use
carnosine. Doesn't matter which one's on front?
Not really. It's an individual matter and how you feel after you're wearing it, after you put it on and try it. So if you wanted to wear both GV4 and CV4 at the same time, you could put like an Eon patch on the back on GV4 right below lumbar 2 between the kidneys, and then put one of the tan patches from Energy Enhancer or Ice Wave, or even an SP6 patch, which is negative, or even a carnosine patch, which is relatively more yin or negative than the Eon, and more negative than the glutathione on the front. So then you'd have a more positive patch in the back and a more negative patch in the front, because the front tends to be more yin and the back tends to be more yang. But sometimes it works better if you switch the polarity with the patches. So that's why I said it depends on the individual and their polarity.
Okay. So would you actually put something on CV4 and 6 at the same time, or they're so close together, you just pick one?
Just pick one. It wouldn't hurt to put one on each, like a glutathione on CV4 and carnosine on CV6, and the Eon on GV4. So then you have like a triangle or a hidden Mickey with with the Eon at the apex and the ears on CV4 and CV6.
Oh, I see. Mickey Mouse. Okay.
Yeah.
Like on Mickey. Okay.
Yeah, when you visit Disneyland, you start getting used to looking for hidden Mickeys.
Talking about Mickey's. Okay.
Mickey Mouse. Yeah, Mickey Mouse. Signs like,
but it's not wrong. Like, but it's not wrong to put just any YH on the front and any YH on the back.
It's not wrong if it's working and you feel better.
Okay. That's where the divine muscle testing can be very helpful to see which one's better.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And Mickey can tell you whether it's.
Those are. So those are so I'm just going to review that for everyone, Dr. Dennis. So if you want to recharge your kidneys, get your energy battery charged before extreme exhaustion sets in, Dr. Dennis suggested using a yin-yang pair of kidney 3 and bladder 60, which means that the yin patch, which we'll just make it simple, we'll say the tan patch and the energy enhancers, for example, and the white patch would go on bladder 60 on the right, and that would be yin on the left and yang on the right, or tan on the left, white on the right. And that would help with your water element, and you could do this every other day, rotating with the other five element protocols, and that's elsewhere on our page. So I'll just link that to that that show that we did on the five elements. So every other day you'd be nourishing the water element. That's kidney 3 on the left and bladder 60 on the right. And then in addition, you can use a YH patch on the center line in the Dantian area, either CV6, conception vessel 6, or 4, or both if you like. And then if you want, you can either add a patch on the back or just alternate days with the front one on GV4 life gate, which is at lumbar 2, just under that vertebra spine, and it's between the kidneys, and that's to recharge our kidneys and batteries. So I do use those points fairly, you know, regularly because I like them and they work for me. And I also like to use, although this might be your next protocol, but I also like to use the energy enhancers, Dr. Dennis, on bladder 23, which is on either side of GV4,
right,
the life gate
right.
point. A little harder
yeah,
to find for most people unless you're, you know, you have an idea of your own anatomy, but I can just kind of pretty much guesstimate it now where it goes on the back of me.
Yeah, bladder 23 is a very good point. It's the back shoe point for the kidneys, and that will work as well as the life gate. And it's also Dr. Dean Clark's favorite pair.
Right, right. So would you say that's more nourishing after you get exhausted, or is that a good point anytime?
Oh, it's a good point anytime, like to keep
your
kidneys tonified and to prevent fatigue and exhaustion and to help your performance if you're doing athletic performance, as you know from skating.
Yes, yes, I really like that. I think it, I know Dr. Dean Clark had said in his experience, not knowing, you know, what the point was in Chinese medicine until later on when you told him, that it was really helpful for his elite athletes. They would bring energy to the entire lower body. He had a lot of track athletes, you know, Olympians, and this worked well. And it made a lot of sense to us, you know, in Chinese medicine. He was nourishing bladder 23. It's pretty much, if you're going to pick, you know, a pair of points, some of the strongest pairs of points in all the body for energy, that would be one of those.
So there's another dimension to tonifying the water, namely kidney and bladder, and that is on an emotional level. The emotion of the water is fear versus courage. So extreme challenge to homeostasis or stress can generate fear and anxiety. And so tonifying the kidneys helps us overcome that and recharge the batteries at that level as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's what the folks feel like. If you're fear and anxious, then you know which which element to focus on. Anxiety, I have to say, is one of the other ones that the sensitives have a little big trouble with. Their boundaries go down, and they feel everybody else's stuff, and they're just in this constant state of just, like they're just charged up, kind of fried, tired, but wired, and anxious. So kidney is big deal. You know, if you're going to use acupuncture points, that would be the ones to use, is the ones that support kidney energy.
And so that answers the Cowardly Lion's question in The Wizard of Oz. What puts the ape in apricot?
What?
Courage. Courage.
That's hilarious.
Courage from tonifying the kidneys.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
So if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, go back and watch Wizard of Oz.
Okay, we'll do that.
Where the cowardly lion is is singing What Puts the Ape in Apricot. Courage,
okay.
Which comes from kidney chi. We're talking about tonifying
okay.
the kidney chi.
Yes.
All right.
So what if someone's already exhausted?
Okay, so now we're going to look at adrenal fatigue that's extreme and extreme exhaustion. What can we do for that? So we already talked about CV4 and CV6. Those are two points we can use for yang exhaustion that's extreme. And also for extreme yang exhaustion, we can use GV26 and GV25. So let me explain why. GV26 is a ghost point, and it sedates the heart, and by sedating the heart, it treats mania, lowers mania, and it resuscitates loss of consciousness and gets us out of comas. So if we're exhausted to the point of having loss of consciousness in a coma, or we're manic and we need to sedate the heart, this ghost point, GV26, which is right under the nose, is a good one. And in Chinese medical physiology, GV26 on the philtrum, below the nose and above the upper lip, is known as the area of man, because above it is sky and below it is earth. And right there, we're stimulating man or people to wake up. And you notice when people are frustrated, they take their index finger and they rub it under their nose. They're actually stimulating their mental acuity and waking themselves up by rubbing there. Stimulating
their
ghost point.
Yeah, I heard if someone's in a coma or going to a coma or you're trying to resuscitate them, that you could needle that point really vigorously, which would really be painful if you're awake.
That's
right.
That
would wake me up. For sure.
Yep. And just as an aside, it's also used for severe back pain. If a patient or client can't get up on the examining table, they're in such back pain. If you needle GV26, then it lowers the pain enough where they can get up on the table. Okay, so what about GV25? Oh. Well, GV25... returns yang by opening and clearing the orifices, or in other words, it clears blockages that are blocking yang from returning. And when we talk about orifice, we're talking about like the heart orifice, or the, if we translate that into Western physiology, blood flow, nervous flow, lymph circulation, clearing blockages that can stagnate during exhaustion. So GV25 can return to yang by opening up orifices or clearing the blockages. Like an example of a blockage in the blood would be if the blood is viscous and that causes it to flow less well. It slows down the circulation.
Now, how exactly would you patch GV25 or 26? Because that's on the front of the body, so that's kind of challenging.
Yeah, GV25 is actually on the tip of the nose. And that actually also, because it's returning the yang, that can also get somebody out of a coma or loss of consciousness. So you could... put an Eon patch on the tip of the nose and just lay it down the sides of the tip of the nose, touching the nares. And while you're putting it on, you can poke it and stimulate it.
Can
or
you get
you can actually
25 and 26 at the same time?
Patches aren't quite big enough, at least on my face, with my big nose.
Okay.
like,
yeah, my nose
one
turns
or the
flat.
Other. Or you could do both. So like an EON on GV25 and a glutathione on GV26. And then take a Moxa stick and wave it back and forth a few centimeters above the patches, and that will tonify the yang as well and drive the phototherapy information from the patches into the meridians.
Wouldn't that fry the patches?
Yes, it will melt the crystals quicker, and they will more quickly quit giving the proper frequency signal. But if you're resuscitating somebody who's extremely exhausted, you don't care about that. You just want to bring them around.
Ah, right. So go back and say, which is your, so you say the EON is the best one as far as that resuscitation, whether it be the tip of the nose or governing vessel 26?
Yeah, because it's the most yang patch we have.
Okay. Okay.
And you're trying to return the yang, resuscitate LOC, loss of consciousness.
So that's basically you're in bed, can barely move, and
it's like
resuscitated.
That's right, and it's the conditions where you would have to, in an ER or in Western medicine, you would use smelling salts.
Yeah. Wow.
And by the way, GV26 can also stop epistaxis or nose bleeding.
Nose bleeding, yeah, right.
And
what about the belly button? I always thought that the belly button was good for exhaustion.
It is, definitely. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. As far as revival
salt,
Shen
yeah.
goes, with the salt and the moxa, yeah. So I'm glad you asked that, because that's the next thing I wanted to mention, is using a double triangle. So kidney 27 is a point or points of choice, since we have bilateral symmetry at kidney 27. It's on both the right and the left. So kidney 27 is a point of choice for restoring kidney chi. It's called energy storehouse, and we could put either ice wave or energy enhancer patches on kidney 27 with an EON patch or a glutathione patch on CV8. And that creates a triangle or a pyramid on the upper body. So then the upper body pyramid would rotate energetically clockwise, and we can reinforce that when we're that torsion field and direction when we're putting those patches on. You put patches on with intent, and that drives the torsion fields and the energy the way you want it. So kidney 27 and CV8 is representing a torsion field pyramid in sky, which is above the belly button. And then we can also create another triangle using CV8 as the apex and put another set of ice wave or energy enhancer on kidney 1. So then we're starting at kidney 1, which is grounded in the yin of the earth, and creating another triangle. And that one rotates counterclockwise, that torsion field and that intent. And then CV8, the belly button is a pivot, and then we have the upper body going clockwise. So if you've got two counter-rotating pyramids with the common apex at the center point, CV8, then you have a Merkaba or a light spirit body as you have the counter-rotating torsion fields going on. And that expands zero-point energy and the field of the heart and revives the Shen.
Why is it important cool to expand the zero-point energy?
The zero point energy is a neutral point, and it's analogous to being in the Tao that's not charged, not polar. The Tao is a precursor to yin and yang. The Tao splits into yin and yang, which is dialectic or charged. Yin is negative, yang is positive, energy. But if we go to the origin of those energies in the Tao is neutral, it's monopolar, and it's represented by the zero point energy is represented by the Tao.
Okay.
So the zero point energy is important in healing because that's the manifestation energy. When you're not charged, when you don't care, and by not care, I mean you don't care if it's positive or negative in the outcome, and you're interacting with spirit through the field of your heart, you do that through zero point energy. And that will collapse away from the quantum. In quantum physics, there is resonance between particles and waves, and that will collapse a wave, which is an energy wave in the quantum, into manifestation as a particle or a physical essence. So this is the original form of healing, connecting the field of the heart with spirit through zero-point energy with this counter-rotating Merkaba and expansion of the zero-point energy. So we're not just wiggling our fingers when we do woo-woo. We're actually involved with a lot of deep metaphysics. So that's why I call my system metaphysical energetics. And that's...
Yeah, I like that. So you're saying that our ability to expand zero-point energy would be, an alignment or our ability to manifest whatever it is we want would be expanded because we're going through the zero-point energy in the field of the heart.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And from what I've heard you talk about, you describe the same thing using a little different terminology, but your system uses the same ideas, I think, from what I've heard you say.
Yeah. It kind of goes, it is kind of like the metaphysical. We call it source, right?
Right.
And so the field from which all is created.
So we're speaking directly with source by connecting our shen to the field of source through zero point energy. And without forcing anything, we just play with spirit that way. So that's aside from manifesting, that's also a way to reverse extreme exhaustion and restore health.
Yeah, that's a great protocol.
So we're being alchemists when we do this because we're using crystals to reinforce energetic grids. As we change the patterns of energy in those grids.
Cool. Now, I know a bunch of people have their hand up. I know they want them to see some of them anyway.
Okay.
Patches would be good for them.
Too long. Go ahead.
Yeah. Is this a good time to do that, Dr. Dennis?
Yeah. Go for it. Sure.
Okay. All right. So, and of course, if you're on the chat, there's some questions on the chat as well. We did have one then. Let's see. Anna says, what was the treatment for viscous blood? She didn't get that. Where does the glutathione fall then? I thought Eon could be used as a secondary sleep patch. So I think you were talking about using Eon on the tip of the nose for viscous blood. Is that right?
Right, because GV25, which is located at the tip of the nose, returns yang by opening and clearing orifices or clearing blockages. And one example of of clearing the blockages to the flow of blood was when blood is viscous and it doesn't have enough fluid in it to circulate adequately. And so GV25 stimulation can help circulate the blood better by opening orifice, quote unquote, which is loosely translated as an example into making the blood flow better by making it less viscous.
Right. Here's a good question, Dr. Dennis. If Eon Patch is the most young patch, isn't that a problem while you're sleeping? You don't want to be more awake, right, when you're sleeping. So can you explain what you mean by that?
It could be in some people. And so is the glutathione patch. It's very young and arousing. So some people can't tolerate either one at night, except when you're first wearing the Eon patch, its detox reaction creates lethargy. So that's why when I suggest people use Dr. Karen's brain protocol to clear neurological blockages, for the first 2 weeks that they do that at night, because the Eon patch during its detox phase will create lethargy or feeling tired and fatigued. But then it gives you more mental clarity after the first 2 weeks. But let's see, to focus on that particular question, most people feel aroused more from the glutathione patch than they do from the Eon patch. And there are other properties in the pattern of being more young other than that. And a lot of people can wear both the Eon and the glutathione at night and they don't feel the effects. But if you do, and if it keeps you awake and aroused and you're getting yang effects and it keeps you from sleeping, then don't wear them at night.
Yeah, wear them during the day. Let's see how it works. And you can always just take it off, right, if it's bothering you. I often did not use anything detoxing too much at night because of the whole, you know, I would feel like I was doing stuff at night. And so I was detoxifying. I remember those, you know what they are. They're like these herbal patches you put on your feet and then they become black in the morning or something. I always thought it was kind of hokey. But I had bought some to use because you can get them in the acupuncture, you know, mall for practitioners. And I got to tell you, I hardly slept that night. I mean, I was just awake. The herbs were very strong or something. I just never felt rested because it was like I was busy the whole night long with those silly herbal patches on my feet. But I never really got that effect with the LifeWave patches, interestingly enough, even though they're detoxifying.
Right. And same here. But I've had patients that develop that kind of black stuff around the edges of the patches when they first put them on, if they're highly toxic.
Wow.
It's pretty rare to see and unusual, but I've seen it happen with the patches, with the LifeWave patches.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned about lymphatic flow potentially. So if someone has general whole body lymphatic flow issues, like I make a lot of lymph for various spiritual reasons, but anyway, so I make a lot of lymph, would putting a patch on the tip of my nose when I sleep at night, would that be supportive of, you know, of all the lymph helping the flow, or would it be better for me to sweep my lymph channels?
Why not do both?
Or spleen six or something. Do both?
Sure.
Because I'm lazy.
You can do all three.
I could do all three, okay.
Yeah. Or you can rotate.
Yeah. Okay,
but
yeah,
sure,
it would
help.
To do them.
Yeah, help with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether I can actually sleep with that thing on the tip of my nose. I might try it tonight. So we have some folks here on the phone. Let me unmute. Now, you guys got to put, if you're asking me to muscle test, you don't expect me to remember this after the call, right? So you guys got to write it down. Okay, so we're going to do this super quick here. So area code 910. Hello.
Hi, Dr. Karen.
Hi, who's this?
It's Pamela.
Hi, Pamela. Okay, so what's your question?
I would like you to muscle test which patch would be best for me and where to place it.
Okay, sounds good. So let's see. Are we allowed to know this information? Yes. I'm getting a yes. Okay, so would you benefit from any of the LifeWave patches? Yes. Okay, of all of them, what's the most important one for you? Is it a YH? Nope. Energy, yes. Energy enhancer patches would be the top one. Is there any particular acupuncture point that would be the best for you? Yes. Okay. Are you having a particular symptom? I mean, which particular symptom? Okay. So would this be a kidney point, a spleen point, stomach point? Okay, kidney point. So kidney 3, kidney 1. I'm getting kidney 1 for you would be a good place to start. How many days a week would you be using energy enhancer patches for the highest good? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, you must be very fatigued. So 7 days a week. So although I use them a lot too, but I like to be busy and athletic and all those things. So 7 days a week. So let's give you another set of points in addition to kidney one. What is the next most important acupuncture point for your highest and greatest good? Is it another kidney point? No. Bladder point? No. Okay. Is it a stomach point? Yes. Stomach. Stomach 36? Yes. So stomach 36 is just outside the tibial tuberosity on either side of the knee, kind of like a little bit below the kneecap and slightly to the outside. So you can look it up on Google Images. So stomach 36 is another good energy point as well. That's actually in the brochure, the energy enhancer brochure. So if I were you, I would rotate through, you know, one day, kidney one, bottom of the feet, and the other day, stomach 36 on your knees. And then remember, everyone, to drink lots of water. You want to do at least 50, 60 ounces of pure water a day to keep well hydrated. That's really, really important for the patches to work well. Okay, there you go. Got that all written down?
Thank you. Yep, thanks.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Okay, area code 912. Let's have you. There we go. Hello. 912, area code. You're live on the air. We can't hear you. So if you're on the chat, maybe you can write your question in the chat. So I'm going to mute you so we can go to the next person. Area code 907. What's with all the nines today? That's really interesting.
Hello.
Hi there. Who's this?
Hi. This is Debbie.
Hey, Debbie. Okay, so what's your question?
Same thing about the patches, wondering what would or if they would benefit me.
Okay, so you've never tried them before?
No.
Okay, so let's ask, are we allowed to know this answer? Yes. All right, so would the patches be for your highest and greatest good? Yes. Okay, I don't always get a yes. Sometimes I get a no because people aren't ready for them. There's something else they need to work on, but I'm getting a yes. So is... let's see, how many different patches would you benefit from? One, two different ones. Which is the top one? Energy, Eon. Okay, so that's the stress handling one. So the Eon patches, spelled A-E-O-N, Eon, Y-H-E-O-N. So how many days a week? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. So 7 days a week to start. And then what's the second one? Glutathione, no. Carnosine, no. Energy, no. Ice wave, no. SP6, well, that's interesting. SP6. So that's the appetite control one that also helps with balancing hormones. So would you be using them both at the same time for the highest good? I'm getting a yes. Would you start them one at a time or both at the same time? I'm getting both at the same time. So the SP6 goes on usually the left side of the body because it's the yin patch, and the Eon is the yang patch, and that would go on the right side of the body. So let's ask, is there an acupuncture point that would work best for you for the highest good, assuming you're hydrated? I'm getting a yes. Would it be a yin-yang pair? No. Okay, same point on both sides. Yes. Give me the most important point. Is it kidney, spleen? Spleen 6, spleen 9, spleen 6. So write that down, spleen 6. You would put the SP6 on the left, the Eon on the right. And then is there a secondary point that would be for the highest good? Yes. Is it on the head? Surprisingly not. I was thinking the head ones would be good. Is it on the legs, the arms? Arms. So which one for you? Yin or yang point? Yin. So is it lung? No. Pericardium? Yes. So pericardium 6? Yes. Okay, so that's actually in the, well, I'm not sure that's in either brochure, but you might want to look that up on Google as well. You put the Eon on the right and the SB6 on the left. So those are your two points that you can use. So I would alternate spleen 6 one day and then pericardium 6 on the next. So do you happen to have, like, what you think are hormonal imbalances, Debbie?
I would say yes, but I thought energy might be something that I was in need of.
Yeah, those are the top two right now. So maybe it's your stress handling system needs more support before. Not to say you wouldn't benefit from the energy enhancer patches, but we're just asking God, you know, what's the top thing right now, you know?
Right.
So you might do that for a couple weeks and then recheck and see, you know, if that works.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate your help.
You're
welcome. Yeah, definitely for Debbie, definitely hormonal stuff is wanted to, you know, be treated for whatever reason. And feel free to interject, Dr. Dennis, if you have some ideas of, you know, why those points would be helpful for someone. And we've got area code 904. Did we unmute you already? I can't remember. I'm losing track here.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
But I'm here now.
Hello. Yay.
Hi, my name is Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie.
Bonnie.
All right. So what are we
doing? So I'd like to know what
today?
Patch to start with.
Okay. Have you tried any of them yet?
I have not.
Not? Okay. So let's just check. Would using LifeWay patches be for your highest and greatest good? I'm getting a no. So let's ask why. Are you interested in knowing why?
Sure.
Probably, huh? Yeah, okay. So is it a hydration issue? No. A mineral issue? Oh, a mineral issue. Really? So let's see. If you were to use the patches, how effective would they be in your current, you know, state? 50% effective. Okay, we want definitely more than that. We want above 80. So we're finding that it's a mineral issue. So you're mineral deficient. I'm getting a yes. So you actually need to absorb minerals better, or you need more minerals to be ingested, or yes, okay. Are you able to assimilate minerals optimally? I'm getting a yes. Utilize them, yes. That's strange. So you might have used up a lot of minerals. So is there a particular mineral you're deficient in? Yes. How many different ones? One, two, just one. Is it magnesium? Yes. So that's the most common one that people get deficient. If they have chronic stress, a lot of stress, or they've been doing a lot of detoxification, or you're an elite athlete, you can actually drain your magnesium stores and your body will actually steal it from your bones in order to make the blood magnesium nice and balanced. So you're magnesium deficient. So with that, magnesium, zinc are pretty important for body processes, and the patches will stimulate your body to do certain things, but if you don't have the raw ingredients, it's going to be tougher to do. So you may actually have to do a couple of weeks of, you know, magnesium oil or taking, you know, some sort of chelated magnesium orally in order to get
your body up to
strength.
I use magnesium oil every night.
Okay.
Dr.
So look, are you using enough? I'm getting a no. Do you need to take oral magnesium as well? I'm getting a yes. So, yes, you may have to take some oral magnesium as well as on your skin. How many sprays are you using?
Well, I finger test, so it depends. Sometimes it's 8, sometimes it's 10 or 11. It just depends on what the finger testing says.
Okay. So can you absorb any more than that through your skin? Yes. Okay. Without detox symptoms? Ah, there's the answer. No. Okay. All right. So
I'm very sensitive to magnesium.
Sensitive.
When I used to take minerals, I used to take mini-mins because the magnesium gives me side effects, shall we say.
Yeah. So would you benefit from MagForce? Yes. Yeah, so you may have to work up really slowly. Dr. Davis, has MagForce. That's at NutriLinkEnergy.com. I can put that in the chat, but NutriLinkEnergy.com. MagForce is probably going to go into your cells a lot faster and not give you as many symptoms, although it could cause diarrhea still in some people. So for whatever reason, your body is depleting magnesium quicker. That might be a whole other healing in and of itself, trying to figure out why that is. So you're only going to get about half, you know, the effect. If you were to be magnesium repleted, what would be the most important patches for you if they were to work optimally? Energy, Eon. Eon would be first. Second would be energy. Yes. So that Eon and energy would be the ones you would use once your magnesium is back up to snuff. So, Dr. Dennis, do you have any suggestions as far as the whole getting magnesium in and getting the body repleted with magnesium?
Yeah, well, first I like Natural Calm powder to add to your juice or whatever you're drinking, especially if it's got calcium in it, because then you get a nice ratio of magnesium to calcium. And also I would put the magnesium drops. You said you were taking the magnesium oil. Put a drop of that oil underneath a patch and let the energy of the patch drive the energy signature of the magnesium through your meridians.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Mm.
So which and patch would I use that?
You don't have to just let the patch do it. You can pretend you have an energy needle going with your index finger and create a torsion field above the patch and drive the energy signature of the magnesium in through the patch and through the oil and into your meridians on the points that Dr. Karen talked about with the patches she talked about or tested for.
Okay.
Okay.
We didn't
go
get
ahead.
To any points.
Yeah.
Okay.
So right now we're not testing you for it. What I have had people do is if you have my Ascension 2, we ask Ascension 2 to actually replete your magnesium, give you the signature of magnesium in your body, the frequency of magnesium. So if you're sophisticated enough to know how to do that, which is not sophisticated, you don't have to be sophisticated at all, you just have to be using Ascension 1 and 2 products on a regular basis, then you just have that power and directive to just go place the frequency of magnesium in my body, thank you, and that's about it. And you play the Ascension 2 and ask it to do that. Then it'll start vibrating the magnesium energy in your body. And sometimes people have, we've gotten to the place where I thought we had to give supplements, and then once we do that, then they don't need the supplement anymore. I'm like, okay, fine, great. So you can try that too. So would
also,
you be beneficial to start the Brain Balance Protocol? Yeah, I'm getting Brain Balance Protocol for you first. So that's on the patchtrainingteam.com page. Go ahead, Dr. Dennis.
There's a Rife frequency app that's available. It costs almost $200, but you can download it from your app store onto your iPhone or your cell phone.
Oh, really?
And it's for magnesium. So if you, let's see. This is what it sounds like. Frequency for magnesium. It's actually going through a spectrum or sweep. So right now it's at 480 hertz when I first started it for magnesium. So that helps you with the energy signature for magnesium.
And then there's balancing by numbers, some of the stuff that Kathy Hohmeyer does with her nutritional energetics. You can actually write down the number for magnesium as well and insert that into your body. That would be really helpful. So there's all these different ways that you can do it.
Okay.
All right.
I have a whole list.
Move on to the
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. So Nancy asks here on the chat, Dr. Dennis, for whatever reason, I can't get the energy or pain patches to work for me. So do you want to go real quick over some of the things why it might not work for people?
Well, there could be neurological blockages. There could be other blockages elsewhere in the body. It could be micromineral deficient. And you have a high tolerance level for energy signatures coming in for the body to pick up on it and recognize it. So the way to be more sensitive to them, when that kind of thing happens, number one, I recommend using Dr. Karen's Eon Brain Protocol with the Eon patches at night for the first 2 weeks to clear neurological blockages, and also to use some pink Himalayan rock salt and make up a solution of micro minerals for yourself and take a few drops of those sublingually or under your tongue when using the patches, and increase your circulation by using GV25, which we talked about today. See if all those will work for you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you. Oh, we have one other person here on the line. Let me unmute you. Area code 717. And we got 6 minutes left, so you got to talk real fast.
Okay. I just was wondering what the best patches would be for me and what spot I should put them on.
Okay, sounds good. So let me check here. Are we allowed to know? Yes. Okay, which patches would best benefit you, if any? 1, 2, 1. Okay, right now it's 1. Which one? Energy, iSwift, Eon. Eon it is. Eon's popularity contest today. So YH Eon patches. That's the one for stress and inflammation. How many days a week? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, so 7 days a week. Any particular points better than others for you? I'm getting a yes. Is that including the brain balance points? No. Okay, different from brain balance points. Okay, other points are better for you? Yes. Are they on the center line? Yes. Anywhere else? No. Okay. So CV? Yes. CV6, CV4. I'm getting a yes for both. So conception vessel 6 or 4 would be good. Is there something else you can alternate with that is as good? Yes. GV? Okay. Center line ones. Okay. GV4? Yes. Okay. So the ones we talked about today. So CV6, CV4, or GV, which is governing vessel, 4, which is between the kidneys and the center of the back at around lumbar 2. And, again, you can look at some pictures on Google. As long as you make that intention of, you know, putting it on GV4, then you probably will hit it energetically. So don't worry about being too perfect on that. Just, you know, make that intention. So that's where you would start every day, either below the belly button or on the back. Some people have to start really slow with just one set of patches first before they get to others. I've had people like buy like a gold package for like $500 and they have like 6 patches on the first day. They use them and then they're like in bed because they're so tired because they're detoxing. And I'm like, no. Start with one first and then go to another. And, you know, unless someone's been doing tons of energy work and tons of detox, then, you know, sometimes it's like getting like 10 acupuncture treatments in a day. It's like, no, just slow down and just do one at a time. And then by the second week or the third week, at that point, you can often, you know, retest again and see if, or just go by your symptoms, which ones you might benefit from next. Sound good?
Yes. I've been having, you told me right the areas where I've been having pain, and I know I have inflammation, so perfect.
Yeah, that'd be a good place to start. Decrease stress and inflammation. So, Dr. Dennis, it's I know you're a big supporter of my brain balancing protocol. If people are like, well, I don't muscle test, I don't know where to put them. The best thing to do, I mean, I'm maybe spoiling people today by testing them, but is really start with that brain balancing protocol for 2 weeks. You know, either at night when you go to sleep so you don't get too sleepy. And then after that, go by your symptoms. If you got fatigue, then use the energy enhancer patches. You know, if you want to focus on detoxification, you feel like you're strong for that, then you can do the glutathione. I think the Eon is good pretty much almost every day, Dr. Dennis. There's just a lot of stress. There's just a lot of stress, just in general.
Yeah.
Life, you know,
yeah.
Right now is, you know, even if you don't watch the news. There's a lot of things going on. So that is my mainstay. I literally, it's a rare day. I do not leave the house with an Eon patch on. I mean, every day I have, you know, the Eon patch on. And it's funny because sometimes I do, it's not like I need it, but I can tell if I skip 2 days or something because I'll just be on a slight edge. Like, I have this feeling like there's something I need to do and I haven't done it yet. That's the feeling that it's like. And then I'll realize, oh, I don't have my Eon on. I'm just not as calm. And Dr. Dennis, I don't know if you know, I know we have a minute left here, but the Happy Patch, we're calling it the Happy Patch. We don't know what it's called. But the Happy Patch is supposed to be coming out soon. That could be very powerful. I've talked to David in the past about a Happy Patch, which he was toying around with. And I'm not sure exactly how they are, you know, what he discovered or what he's resonating with that patch, but we are anxiously awaiting to know what it does and how it works to help with mood stabilization and helping us feel happy. Because a lot of people feel that way just with the Eon patch, Dr. Dennis. I'm sure you've seen that.
Yeah, and I would guess a happy patch is stimulating the bliss particle from the pineal called anandamide.
Okay, we'll see if that's true. Well, I want to thank everyone who's on the call today. Of course, Dr. Dennis, thank you so much for spending your time with us today. Everyone listening in, I will be finishing the notes, and they'll be on on the blog in a few minutes. All right, bye for now, guys. Talk to you
all right.
next month, Dr. Dennis.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Dr.
Thank
Karen.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.